The subject is, what happens between sunrise and sunset, and from sunset to sunrise? As some of you know, I am a photographer in part of my life. And I have a little bit of an obsession right now with sunrises and sunsets and the clouds and doing a lot of, time-lapse movies. As a matter of fact, I just finished one about 15 minutes ago. And so there's a lot of them out there. I'm approaching 365 days of sunrises and sunsets. Now, I am always engaged in capturing images of the sunrise to share with those who may not have witnessed them and have a moment for another cup of coffee. I also do and like for the sunset, but on one particular day, I thought of all the times I have been blessed with awakening on the morrow and the going down of the light of day. My thoughts were of what occurs between sunrise and sunset, and sunset and sunrise. What hath the Lord laid within our view for interpretation and understanding? Here we go. Psalms, chapter 50, verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Luke 1, verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, the darkness of night, it's not to be feared, albeit there isn't any warmth from the sun on your face, nor are there any rays to help you help the seed sprout, nor is there light to help guide the foot on the path. There was a time when darkness revealed a message from God in the stars. Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. But I will caution you. Be wary of looking for messages in the stars today, as the naming and message may have been perverted over the stretch of time. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What was that knowledge? Was that the knowledge of the stars? The message? 2 Samuel, verse 2 Samuel, verse 2. Bear with me for a minute while I verify it. Of course, it does help if you look at the right scripture and don't go into the wrong one. Okay. Well, I'm going to read it because I can't remember where I pulled it here. My notes are a little bit array on this one. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And here's a little something that I wrote. Waiting on the sunrise, a blanket of clouds I come to find. That they refuse to relent and allow the sun to show from behind. Nevertheless, the sun does rise to bring forth its warmth by design. And on the morrow, we look to the sky for a glimmer of hope to see the sun shine. That was 23:4. Okay. Thank you there, Tony. Appreciate that. I'll mark that down. All right. We are in like Flynn. Okay. Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." It's my estimation that the guidance was given in the darkness of night, being that it was a star. Psalm 113, verse 3. For the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. God chose the night to display his message in the stars, and therefore it stands to reason that upon receipt of that knowledge, the understanding would carry to the sunrise, embraced in the light. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day, regardless of happenstance, consequence, circumstance, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 5. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Now we go back into Psalms 121, verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Psalm 73, verse 14. For all the day long I have been stricken and chastened every morning. It may seem unbearable at times to be greeted with the same woes as the day before. So consider Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I don't want to take this scripture out of the context of Psalm 73, but it can still be applied to what occurs during the day and what will occur tomorrow, and is coupled with our approach, our feelings, our dismay, or our attitudes regarding the events beyond our control. That being said, This should be your comfort and understanding in the light of day. And we'll stay in Psalms for a little bit here. 72. And I would invite you to go back and let's see here. What am I going to do here? I want to... wanted to go ahead. Let's see, that was 72 verse. Well, I guess I had a heck of a time when I wrote my notes down here. But I'll read it anyway and pray that Tony finds it for me. And it looks like he did already. Of Solomon, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the Son. May he judge your people with righteousness, your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. And we'll go ahead and move to Psalms 50, verse 1. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. This one, I think, is rather important, not to lessen the importance of all the other scriptures, but this one is good for to go along with Psalm 73:17. This would be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I say, resolve your daily frustrations before the light of day is past. Let not the night entertain despair. Rather, let the cool of the evening bring forth a calm and hope for the sunrise to greet you once more. And go on to Jeremiah 31:35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. You know, all around us is evidence of the greatness of God's power and design. There is many a magnificent work by man to be seen, but all of man's works rest upon the work of God. Now we'll jump to Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. When we gather unto good measures and knowledge and endeavor to walk upright, our path becomes brighter and a warmer ray of understanding lays before us. Now we'll zip over to Isaiah 60, verse 20. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Another little something that I wrote here, it's a little poem, The Stars. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, never have I wondered what you are. And through my thoughts of needs and wants, never have I wished upon a star. Certain am I of your existence and where you are, being part of a message the Lord has brought forth from afar. He chose the night for the light of the stars from which to shine, the array of lights in the curtain of night arranged to convey a sign. And while the sun shall rise and the same recede by order of design, the Lord's name shall be praised and exalted as divine. Now we'll jump to Malachi 1:11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. The worshiping and honor of the Lord goes on a daily basis, unabated. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Well, folks, I have to tell you, my wife, and those of you who know her, has brought me to believe I must have done something really good, because my wife is a reward beyond measure. So, we move on. Solomon despaired over the fruits of his hard work and labors that will be left, he fears, to people that are unworthy upon his passing, and thus we read those concerns in the following lament. In Ecclesiastes 2:11, 17, 18, 22, 23, and 24. And Tony, if you didn't catch them all, I'll number them as I go here. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. 17. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. 22. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? 23. For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is only vanity. 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. It does seem unreasonable at times, although it may be a hard thing to get past, that what you have put together in your life, what will happen to it in your passing. And once you're gone, obviously, it doesn't matter to you. And people are going to have to do what they need to do to preserve something that is good. Or if you didn't do good, then end it. Psalms 78:14. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud both by day and the shining of flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime, from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert, and for a covert from storm and from rain. And let's move along to Joshua. Chapter 10, verse 27. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been laid and been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. They that were hung in the trees were the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. These five kings were vanquished by Joshua. And we'll stay at Joshua 10, but move back to 12, 13, and 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down upon a whole day. And there was no day like that before it, or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. This definitely puts the term the longest day firmly into perspective. Now we'll jump back into Genesis chapter 15, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, and from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 11, 12, and 13. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For that which passes through a man, a spot was designated outside the encampment in order to not sully a holy camp. Porta-johns were not part of the military equipment list in those days. Second Samuel, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 35. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat, while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And we'll pop back to Deuteronomy 24:13. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment, and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. If you loan something to your brother, do not go hunting for its return. Rather let him stand and return the loan to you. If he is poor and of meager means, then return the loan to him so that he may rest well in the evening, and the Lord God will find favor with this gesture. Jonah, chapter 4, verse 8. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Events that must take place during the day period. Amos, chapter 8, verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Well, Israel did not heed God's warnings and neglected God's laws. So I would say the consequences forthcoming were ushered in on a very short day. Back to Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. In all events and circumstances, give thanks to the Lord, for he has made this day, and you were able to witness the wonders of creation and the gifts afforded us by the Lord. Which brings me back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. And we move to 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 12. For thou didst it secretly, but I who do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David's transgressions were meted out in secrecy, and retribution of the law was delivered by the Lord in full view. Mark 16, verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. In 2 Kings 3, verse 22, it says, And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. These are events that require the light of day in order to be seen. And in Mark 16, verse 2, And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Oh, I just read that one. Sorry about that. These are things that happen at sunrise, and the story continues. When you come to the sun rising on another day, this should strengthen your hope and faith in the Lord. He has given you another day to see things in a whole new light. You may also be able to see things you didn't see days before. The gift and grace of the light of day bestowed upon us warrants a wonderful thankfulness to the Lord. We have the night wherein to find rest and peace, and on the sunrise, when we awaken, are greeted by the day, whether there be snow, rain, sun, or blustery thereof, we are awake and alive, with a promise from the Father. Father, we thank you for this day and its promise of your glory and mercy under the sun. We thank you for the night and pray that it brings peaceful and rejuvenating slumber for they who have your promise in their hearts. Father, we thank you again for all your glorious works we see, and for those that go unseen and are no less tangible. Please give us the strength to continually walk upright and circumspect in the light. Amen.